You know, it seems the gospel lesson we have today is a good place to find some likely verses to put on a sympathy card. Your sorrow will turn into joy. And you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. I mean, I know you love the idea that Jesus turns today's sorrows into tomorrow's joys, that no matter what you face in this life, you can always count on God turning the bad into good. In fact, God's so good at turning things around that you should be filled with joy no matter what the circumstances, right? Isn't that what Paul did? Isn't that what Peter did? Isn't that what is expected of us? I don't know. Maybe you don't realize it. But when you Christians talk about people's sorrows turning into joy, you just sound so fake, especially to people who know what sorrow really is. I know you don't mean to. All you're trying to do is show them how great God really is, to show them the joy that you have because of Christ. But all you end up doing is coming across as people without scars, telling those who have them to pretend that they don't have them. You can make the joy of God sound like you shouldn't have any kind of sorrow at all. Is that how we're supposed to hear Jesus' words in the text? If Jesus turns all sorrows into joys, and people have sorrows, then I guess that means that they don't really have Jesus. Because if they did, they wouldn't feel this way, right? Look, whether you actually believe that or not, sometimes you leave that impression upon people, that sorrow is somehow a problem to be fixed, that it's something that Jesus can help you avoid, or that if you pray enough or have enough faith, it'll just go away. No wonder people think Christians are so delusional. But it doesn't really matter what people out there think, because the problem comes when that's what you believe. Because when you live your life expecting Jesus to just turn on the joy when things get hard, then your faith is going to take some serious hits. Because that's not what Jesus promises at all. Look at what he says. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful. You will be. Not something that happened in the past to be forgotten. Sorrow will come to the disciples in the text and to you as well. Now think about this. The context of our gospel lesson. It takes place in the context of the disciples having just gone through the joys of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. They had the joy of seeing Jesus this past week dominate the Pharisees in their war of words. They had the joy of seeing the Passover come to its true fulfillment that Monday, Thursday evening. And they had the joy of Jesus' final instructions that are given to them here in John 14 through 17. But today's joy will be tomorrow's sorrow. A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. Jesus is going to die and be buried, and the disciples will not see him. But 3 days later, he will rise from the grave, and then they will see him, and their sorrow will be turned into joy. But they still went through the sorrow. You see, for death to be no more, that means there needs to be death. For there to be no more mourning or crying or pain tomorrow, that means that there is mourning, crying, and pain today. In order for the former things to pass away means that those former things are exactly what you must endure today. And that's more than just the sorrows of all people from living in a sinful world. Christ promises that because you follow him, you will have the sorrow of being hated by this world. That's not Jesus turning sorrow into joy in this life. That's Christ sacrificing today's joy for tomorrow's sorrow. True joy only comes after the sorrows have been endured. You will be sorrowful, he says, but your sorrow will turn into joy. And what Jesus is not saying is that you're not going to have so much joy that you'll forget all about your sorrows, or that joy is going to cover up that sorrow, that you don't have to feel, you don't have time to feel this bad. That's not what he's saying. The joy in Christ isn't a distraction. It's not a gimmick. It's Jesus actually addressing the very things that cause you so much pain and grief and sadness. Jesus tackles your sorrow head on and turns that sorrow on its ear. Whatever it is that hurts, whatever it is that makes you cry, whatever it is that is just too overwhelming to deal with, these are the very things that Jesus went to the cross for. These are the very things that Jesus died for. And Jesus doesn't give you these words to make you forget your sorrows. Jesus gave you these words so that you know that it's okay to feel these sorrows. It's okay to shed your tears. It's okay to mourn your dead. It's okay to cry out in pain. Because those are the places that Jesus goes. Those are the things that Jesus bears. Those are the times that Jesus promises not to leave you alone. And it's also in those places where Jesus brings his resurrection, where he brings his forgiveness and salvation. And so he brings you hope and joy. Don't be afraid to weep and lament while the world rejoices. And don't expect that all your sorrows will go away as long as you follow Christ. Matter of fact, it's probably going to be the opposite. Your troubles are where Jesus comes close to you in order for him to be there in your every need. Because just as you share in his sufferings, he likewise shares in yours. And even though you're weak from these things, he is not. Today's joy may indeed be tomorrow's sorrow. Yet in these sorrows, there is Christ on your behalf. So don't get it backwards. Joy doesn't replace sorrow. Joy is there even in the midst of sorrow. Don't get it backwards. Sorrow doesn't only last a day, and your joy isn't that our sorrows are so small. No. Your joy is that Christ is there for you in the midst of all your sorrows, even the ones that don't go away the next day. Because sorrow is real, and sorrow is promised. And yet sorrow is exactly the place Christ Jesus goes for you and with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.